Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Gainesville Bible Church this Lord's Day. Today we will pick up where we left off last week in our continuing study of the life and times of Jesus Messiah. Now, last time we met, we were present when the angel Gabriel came to faithful Zacharias and Elizabeth with the announcement from God that they would have a child in their old age. And this child would be a great prophet. He would be named John, and he would be the forerunner to Messiah, all in accordance with Old Testament prophecy. So today, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And in verse 25, we will find that Gabriel had another stop in his God-given mission of announcements. After bringing miraculous good news to Zach and Elizabeth, he now visits Mary with the announcement that will change the world. In Luke chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 26 through 38 through 30 today. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I don't think we'll get further than that today, so let's look back at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now to call Nazareth a city is a little bit of a stretch. Nazareth was a small town at this time in history and probably unknown to most outside the area. Galilee was well north of Jerusalem. And due to a certain amount of Gentile influence, the Jews of Nazareth weren't as strict or as legal as their brothers to the south in Judea. So Gabriel moves from the major hub of Israel, the holy city Jerusalem, to a small town in Galilee. Now we also notice that there's a six month interval between these birth announcements. If John is to be forerunner to Messiah, to prepare the people for Messiah's appearance and his ministry, it only stands to reason that the harbinger would predate the subject of his ministry. So John predates Jesus by 6 months. Verse 27, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, several points are made here in this verse, and they should be recognized. Number one, twice Mary is referred to as a virgin. There can really be no ambiguity here. The Greek term parthenon, used here, describes a woman who has reached physical maturity but has not yet experienced sexual intercourse. Now, obviously, virginity is lost at conception. So what is significant is that, as we will see, this young lady will indeed conceive and bear a child while remaining in her virginal state. Now, if you thought Gabriel's announcement to Zach would need a miracle to come to fruition, well, we're going to need a doozy here. Next, we're told that this young virgin was engaged to a man named Joseph. In our modern society today, we look at marriage as an outdated option for cohabitation or a ritual of convenience. But throughout biblical history, marriage has been a sacred unification, God's first holy ordinance. Marriage is the three-way binding together of one man, one woman, and God. And in this period of God's historical timeline for humanity, marriage was indeed sacred and involved a serious legal process. The ancient betrothal would have involved an official binding agreement to be married, complete with witnesses and a financial transaction. And this ceremony would be followed by a one-year waiting period during which the bride legally belongs to the groom. And after this year of waiting, the wedding ceremony takes place and the husband takes the wife home. And it's during this waiting period of betrothal that Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel. So Mary and Joseph were legally engaged to each other, but the actual wedding and the subsequent consummation hadn't taken place yet. She was committed for marriage, but she was still a virgin. The third thing we notice in this verse is that Joseph is a descendant of David. Now, this is significant in that both Mary and Joseph were descendants of King David. We examined Mary and Joseph's genealogies in our previous studies and discovered David was an ancestor to both. Now, why is this important? Because Old Testament prophecy predicted that Messiah would have to be a physical descendant of David the king. The covenant God made with David stated clearly that God would take a descendant of David's and establish his throne forever. And even though Jesus wasn't physically the son of Joseph, he was Joseph's son legally and Mary's son physically, both of whom were descendants of David. And our fourth observation is that there is a superiority here in the announcement of the birth of Jesus over the birth of John. See, John would be miraculously born out of barrenness, but Jesus would be born of a supernatural conception, a virgin birth. God will do a great work through John the Baptist, but he will do an even greater work through Jesus, Messiah. Okay, let's keep reading. In verse 28, "And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.'" Now, much like Gabriel's introduction to Zacharias, the angel offers salutations and gets right to the point. He announces that God sent him and God is going to bless Mary. The word translated favor here is actually charis, the Greek word for grace. The text reads literally, "Greetings, graced one." See, she was favored because God was going to bestow special grace upon her. She would be the mother of Messiah. That was an honor every Jewish woman prayed for. And this great honor would not be because of any special merit of her own, but all as a result of God's great grace. And what a great encouragement to know that she is not going to have to go through this assignment, this responsibility alone, but God would be with her. I can think of no greater encouragement than to know that God is with me. See, God told Moses, who later told Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So don't fear. Don't be dismayed." And in Hebrews, we as Christians are given the same promise. "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." No matter where I go in this life or whatever I'm called to do, I can do all things through Him that is within me. He who has promised to never forsake or leave me. There have been many times in my life when I was at the end of my rope. My existence was threatened and I was helpless to alter my situation. Ever been there? And yet here I stand because God was with me. Throughout the upcoming succession of supernatural events, Mary will walk on the bedrock of God's presence and His power in her life. Verse 29, "But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was." Now, if you remember when the angel suddenly appeared to Zacharias, he was struck with fear. But Mary, although also obviously startled at this supernatural visitation, was more affected by wonder and amazement. And we must not miss the detail of the extent of her consternation. She was very perplexed, and she kept pondering. Mary was greatly perplexed, and her contemplation was consuming. This reflects a much more intense concern and deeper curiosity than just normal consideration or confusion. She was astounded and intensely inquisitive. Mary was more troubled by the content of Gabriel's greeting than she was at his unearthly presence. And what was this content? What was his salutation? He said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Gabriel's initial announcement was that God had favored her. God has or is about to extend grace to her. Her feminine, inquisitive intuition is now provoked. What favor? Who, me? Why me? What have I done? She was stunned and confused, puzzled and mystified. She understood that God was with her and that she was the object of his grace. But what does that mean? What's God going to do to me? Verse 30, the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And just as with Zach, the angel assures Mary that he's on a benevolent mission from God. He means her no harm. And her assurance that Gabriel means her no harm is provided in the comforting announcement that God likes her. He's looking upon her in kindness. Twice now, Gabriel has announced that God is gifting her with grace, unmerited favor. He said, "You have found favor with God." Now, if you'll indulge me for a minute, I'd like to explain this favor thing the way I understand it. What does it mean to find favor with God? You know, throughout Scripture, we have various terms for the quality, the characteristic in humans that God finds favorable: righteousness, faithfulness, blamelessness, uprightness, humility, purity, self-control. We could add to this list all day long. But what is significant about all these character traits that God is looking for in his children is that they are all born out of a love for him and translate into acts of obedience. So when Scripture says that someone has found favor with God, it means that he has recognized in them an obedience that's a reflection of love and devotion to him. And when God finds this love and devotion expressed in obedient character, it makes him smile. Isn't that the motivational force behind all that we do as his sons and daughters? A burning desire to make God, our Father, smile? Can I be real honest with you for a minute? I'd like to win the lottery. My wife says that'll never happen because first you have to buy a ticket. Also, I'd like everyone to know the Lord the way I know him. I'd like our nation to invite God back to the throne of our society and government. I'd like to have a 1969 Plymouth Roadrunner as my daily driver. But more than all my dreams and aspirations, my ultimate desire is that one day Jesus would say to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." There may be some of you today in our listening audience who are at the end of your rope. Your existence is threatened and you are helpless to alter your circumstances. My encouragement for you today is that if you are a child of the King, you are a child of the King. He not only wants to help you, he alone is able to help you. And if you belong to him, rest assured that he is with you. He's got this, whatever this is. And if you're listening today and you're not a child of the King, if you don't know him as Father, you can sign the adoption papers today and give them to his Son, Jesus, Messiah. See, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." He also said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." You see, God was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with David on the battlefield. He was with the thief on the cross. And he offers to be with you today and forever, if you would but believe in what he has revealed about himself through Scripture. And in this believing, you would surrender to the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he sacrificed his life so that you may gain yours. As always, I'd love to hear from you. My number here at the office is 940-668-2781, or you're welcome to send me an email at info@GainesvilleBibleChurch.com. Now, as you probably know, I love to talk about God and his word. Let me tell you about my Savior. Until next time, this is Pastor Mark praying that God will bless you and keep you and smile upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace, and that you would call on his name and he would bless you.